Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12 voices in 12 hours. This is a special community discussion on opioid prevention on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And this is Sandy Beach, and we're glad to be back in studio. I want to thank Dr. Brady from Roswell Park. I saw Dr. Brady on Monday, and she took care of a little problem with a basal cell carcinoma for me. How do I look, Tony? Do I look as glamorous as I usually do?
Smile for your mugshots.
I've got a bandage on here. This is the small one, by the way. This is the size of Cleveland. And yesterday, I don't know if Bernie showed you the picture or not, I had one that covered half my face, which in my shape, that's probably a plus. I wish they had one that covered my whole face, but no. Thanks again to Dr. Brady from Roswell Park. They do a great job. I didn't plan to be at Roswell Park for radiation and this back-to-back, but, hey, that's the way it goes.
As long as you're healthy, Sandy, you're doing better.
That's right. 12 voices in 12 hours. A very, very important person we're going to talk to next because he has suffered through it all to the degree of which we can only imagine. His name is Avi Israel. And not only did he have to deal with addiction, he had to deal with his son taking his own life in June of 2011. Avi, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Here's what I don't want to do, Avi. I don't want your son, Michael, to be a statistic. I want him to be a real person because as a statistic, people hear things, radio, TV, or they see things in print, and they, oh, that's too bad, and then they move on. I want to know what he was like as a person so that people can see what paths he took or what paths the drugs took and maybe learn from that, maybe help people on a whole different level. Tell me about Michael. What kind of a son was he?
Oh, Michael was wonderful. Michael and I bonded right from the beginning. You know, he was a great kid. He was a type of kid that had a very dry sense of humor. Very funny. He would clown in a good natured kind of way. Very, very bright, smart kid. He suffered from Crohn's. He suffered from Crohn's disease when he was diagnosed when he was 12 years old. And he did very good for a while. He just about was in remission. And then he got into UB. He was going to study architecture, but the Crohn came back, and you know, it gave him a hard time. But otherwise, Michael was the type of guy that every father would be proud to have a kid like him. Didn't get into any serious problem. Once in a while, he would do clownish things, just like everybody
else.
Sure,
like any kid.
Yeah, just like any kid. Went to St. Joe's for high school. Like I said, went to UB. Proud to have Michael.
I give you so much credit because if you talk to anybody that's around, let's say, Roswell or certainly any kind of a drug situation, the caregiver, it's as tough on the caregiver as it is on the person themselves. You're a caregiver not only for your son, for his illness, but for the fact he took his life, both major burdens that you perhaps never get over. So you're carrying quite a bit of weight with you and probably will for a long time.
Well, I look at it this way, Sandy. You know, we all have a book in life that we write, our book of life. Michael didn't get to finish his book. Michael had a bad chapter and closed his book. So I'm really writing Michael's book and finishing it up for him. The same thing that you are writing your book in life, the same thing that everybody else is writing a book of life. I want to finish Michael's book. Michael would be, if Michael was alive today, our community would be proud and glad to have him. He would be somebody that could contribute to our community. And so is a lot of kids in that ended up dying from this epidemic. Those are smart kids. Those are good kids. Something happened along the way. I don't know what. None of us know what. It's addiction. It's a subject that we don't discuss very much. But I think if all these thousands of people that could live today, our society would benefit out of them.
Was this a long journey into the addiction? I understand opioid addiction, or was it fairly short?
It was fairly short compared to what you see today. Michael got addicted at the age of 18. Michael was actually prescribed into addiction. This is a new term that we find today. Our medical community has to treat pain. And Michael was prescribed opiate for two surgeries. And doctors continue to prescribe to him. When he fell into trouble, he knew he was in trouble, so he notified us, his parents. And that was in December of 2010. And from the point of saying, "Dad, I'm in trouble, I'm addicted," to the when the shotgun went off was 6 months.
Wow, that's incredible. We'll be back with Avi Israel. He'll tell us the story of Michael and the story of his foundation, Save the Michaels of the World, Incorporated, because Avi decided to do something about it. When a lot of people would want to get as far away from the memory and the thought as possible, he jumped in even further to try and help others. I think that's amazing. I really do. We'll be back with more with Avi Israel on News Radio 930 WBEN. You're listening to the 12 Voices in 12 Hours, the opioid situation that we have, not only in Western New York, but all over the country. And Avi Israel is with us. He lost his son, Michael, to suicide at the age of 20. Now, it's amazing, Avi, because in most cases, the sons carry on the father's work. In this case, you're carrying on the name of your son and his work.
Yes.
And most people, when they go through trauma like that, just want to get away from it. You're going into it. You're like a firefighter going into the fire. You're not running away from it. I give you a lot of credit for that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very hard to watch your son take his last breath. For me, it was when I was holding Michael at his last moment on this earth, and I'm thinking, Michael didn't have to die. Why is he dying? And we notified the doctors, we notified everybody that Michael was addicted. Insurance company denied Michael treatment, even though it was the same insurance company that subsidized his addiction. So I wanted to get out there and let the world know that we have a problem and we need to take care of it. At the time, we had no such system in place where a doctor can see what other doctors were prescribing. Not one pharmacy can see what the other pharmacy chain was prescribing or filling up prescriptions. So there was a lot of opiates running around the streets, and everybody had them, and there was a lot of doctor shopping. So Michael was getting deadly prescriptions from doctors who never, ever talked to one another to see what was going on. So we needed to put a stop to that immediately.
Did Michael know he was being lured in by the drugs? Was he aware of it?
Well, I think Michael, in the beginning, it helped him with his pain, deal with his pain, it's the same as everybody else. But then opiates take over. And if to understand what is going on in our country right now, opiate addiction is not typical of regular addiction that happens, for instance, with alcohol, which is a slow, gradual decline. Opiate addiction happens within 3, 4, 5 days, especially to a young person, and it's like falling off a cliff. You just fall off a cliff, and then you're starting to think that, okay, you can handle it. You can control
sure.
it. It's typical of anybody that's addicted. But you can't, because opiate affects your brains. They change the chemical makeup of your brain. They change the circuitry in your brain. And you start growing more opiate receptors. We all have opiate receptors in our brain. And so the desire for drugs become greater. And you need more because you have more receptors. So you need to fill those receptors. And so you start falling into this rabbit hole. And you can't get out. And that's what happened to Michael.
Did he reach out to try and get into any kind of a program, or how about his own doctor who was doing the prescribing? Did they talk to him about it?
Yes, he did. So we when he informed me that he had a problem, we reached out to our family doctor, and he didn't know what to do. We reached out to the surgeon that was prescribing the opiates, and he didn't know what to do. Now, don't forget, Sandy, that was 7 years ago.
Before the awareness before, that we have
actually
now.
a little more, 7.5 years ago. That was before what that was way before what was going on right now, which is a little more awareness, which is sure. a little more education at the public. So we reached out to our insurance companies, which at the time I was working as an electrician, for Local 41, I was making very good money. I had excellent health insurance. And at the time, that was 8 years ago, I was paying over $800 a month for Michael to make sure that Michael was covered for everything. So we went into a detox facilities to try to get help. It took us over 2 weeks just to get in there. And it was a disaster of a place. It was not set up for opiate addiction. It was set up for alcoholic to dry out. This kid, who weighed at the time 107 pounds with an ileostomy bag, sat on a bench for 3 days before the insurance company said, no, we're not paying for his treatment.
Wow.
And he was sent home. That was at Easter of 2011. He spent his last Easter on Earth at a detox facility. On May 17th of 2011, Michael sent me a text that said, Dad, you don't deserve a son like me.
Oh.
I love you.
Oh.
I knew what he was trying to do. So Michael was trying to take his life. We went to our county hospital, to the CPAP unit. From 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the morning, Michael was sent home. And what I got from the hospital was he's a liar, he's an addict, he's just trying to get attention. And that was the wrong thing to do at the time. And 3 weeks later, Michael again called his counselor and asked for help. And that person, knowing what his medical condition, knowing what he was going through, in 5 minutes said there was no beds. So Michael had enough. He went into the back bedroom and took his life.
Oh, man.
And this is what's going on. Until today, we're still having a problem getting people into treatment. And what we're not talking about in our society, in our community, and everywhere in this country, is what causes people to get in to this rabbit hole that they can't get out of. And that is addiction.
Most people think that addiction is a long-lasting road to follow. If you could, off the top of your head, could you give me a timeline from the time he started taking those opioids until the time he took his life?
I would say probably a year.
That's it?
Yeah.
A year. That's not much.
A year. He started taking opiates in his first surgery, and then it was stopped. He did okay. And then he had a second surgery, and that, by the time he had his second surgery, he was already addicted. And notifying the doctors that he has an addiction, Michael, in the hospital, was given some high potency pain medication. And you can see in the hospital that Michael. The only question that Michael asked at the time was, when am I getting my pain pill? When am I getting my pain medication?
So that's that much of a need right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And again, we notified his surgeon that, you know, Michael is really addicted. You can see it.
We'll go on with the story. Ave Israel did not decide to go quietly and stand in the corner. He decided to get out on a public stage and tell the story so that he could make things better. He's a remarkable man. I'm sure his son was a remarkable son as well. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Twelve voices in 12 hours. This is a special community discussion on opioid prevention on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And we are back with Avi Israel, who lost his son in 2011, his 20-year-old son, Michael, to suicide and was addicted to opioids. I want to bring up one aspect. We all think we know what addiction is. And I'll give you a little clue on in advertising with billboard advertising. The first time you drive by it, you look at it and see what it says, kind of process it. But after that, you say, okay, I've already seen this board, so I don't have to process it. I think, no, I've seen that one too. We've seen addiction portrayed in television shows and in movies and things, and we think we know it, but hopefully very few of us have suffered through it and have seen it up close. You have.
Yes.
What do you think most people miss or most people don't comprehend? Or give us the very definitive look at addiction from your point of view.
So addiction to me is a very destructive disease. It takes a good person like Michael. It takes anybody. Like, my God, we have families that save the Michaels of the world who are volunteers. People like Daniel Plasek, who was a Navy veteran, who hung himself at the VA hospital. Michael, who shot himself. And I can go on and on with so many different names. It takes good people, and it turns them into something that society looks at as though they want to cast aside. Addiction is a subject that we don't talk about in our community. And that is the drive towards the drug. That is, I mean, drugs will change. Tomorrow there'll be some new drugs that attracts people. What we want to talk about is addiction. We want to, and we can prevent it in many cases. We can prevent that disease from coming on in many cases. Addiction can strike anybody. It doesn't stop at the city limits. It's what I say, it's in every zip code in this country. Rich people, poor people, educated people, fat people, skinny people, tall people, short people, it doesn't make any difference. It can attack anybody. Addiction is the new form of a modern day slavery. It takes a person, hijack a brain, and it makes you do things that you would never normally do. You would steal from your parents. Women will sell their bodies in order to satisfy the craving. You would cheat, lie, steal, do anything to satisfy that craving. And us in the society, we look at addiction as a character flaw, as a moral failure. You did it to yourself. You pull yourself out. I don't want anything to do with you. And that's the wrong thing to do. Addiction kills faster than cancer, as quick as a massive heart attack, and yet does not get the attention that every disease gets in the emergency room or any kind of treatment. Addiction today has become a huge moneymaker in our medical field. Getting people addicted and keeping them addicted is something that in the workforce costs this country $56 to $57 billion a year. That's a lot.
Money.
That's serious money.
You know what? And some of our heroes, who perhaps shouldn't be heroes, whether they're actors or athletes or whatever, who get addicted, it's almost a badge of honor. It's almost like, okay, your favorite player is going in for a rehab. Oh, you almost expect it, and that, in a way, trivializes it.
It's not. I mean, look at a guy like Brett Favre, right?
Sure.
Has been into treatment several times, got addicted through painkillers.
Right.
And was able to hide it, you know, and continue playing. Addiction today is not what you would normally see as the guy that sits and or live under a bridge somewhere under the young men or somewhere else. Addiction today could be at your house. My house definitely was in my house. It could be in your neighbor. It could be the guy that's working next to you in an assembly line. It could be a clerk at a store. You cannot tell with opiate addiction.
Is the spotlight in the right place? Hearing you talk, these were prescribed pills, and you get into a habit, and then you need more and more and whatever. It seems like a lot of the focus is on the drug dealers. Those are people dealing on the street. That's a different. It's a whole different ballgame. Are we focusing enough on the addiction you're talking about?
I think we need to focus as a community, as society, as government, is not focusing enough on prevention and not focusing enough on awareness. So when you and I raised our kids, we talked to our kids about don't drink and drive, don't do pot,
sure,
safe sex, whatever it is. We don't talk about addiction. We don't talk about, you know what, I should have figured out for myself at the time when Michael was going through it about what the kind of pills that he's getting. Addiction today, according to the CDC, 89.9% of people who move on to heroin start with painkillers.
And because it's such a broad base, anybody who's had an operation, certainly, any kind of serious operation, they give you something to alleviate the pain. And yet we have to balance that between something that is necessary but controllable as opposed to something you just take as much as you'd like.
You know, we have to treat pain. I'm not anti-opiates at all. What I think is we should have our medical community be aware of what the medication they are prescribing, what the consequences could be to certain people. Also, what we need to do as family members or as any person who, when you take a medication, find out what the side effects can be.
Does anybody even read them? If you're on a new medication and it comes with that little unfolding piece of paper that looks like a roadmap when you're done, does anybody even read them?
They don't read them. You know, and when people go to a pharmacy and they sign their name on a little tablet, they think that they're signing because they received the medication. What they're signing away is their right for consultation with the pharmacist, which a lot of us don't know about that.
Wow.
There's a law in New York State, which was started by a good friend of mine, Dennis Galuzzo, from the independent pharmacies right here in Western New York, where you're supposed to have consultation with the pharmacist. So when you sign that little pad down there, you're actually telling them, the pharmacist, I don't need any consultation. But there's laws today on the books that require a pharmacy or a pharmacist to talk to you about the danger of addiction when it comes to new medication. You should not sign. If you're getting a new medication, find out what the consequences are. If you don't want to read that long piece of paper that we get, of course, talk to the pharmacist.
You try and read that, and then you decide you need your eyes examined, too.
Right. And it's like, who's got that time to sit there and go through? I mean, look at the commercials that we see on TV.
Oh, yeah.
The side effects are more than what the benefit.
Here's a little test. Watch one of those medical for some drug, and then listen to it. The things they say are not what the pictures they're showing. They're showing pictures of people at a picnic and playing with a dog and all that.
Right.
And meanwhile, they give you the side effects, including death.
And we don't listen
we
to
don't
that
listen
because
to it.
We're seeing this wonderful people jumping and
having
doing
a good
everything.
Time.
Yeah. And every medication today has side effects. Some are worse than others. And doctors today prescribe things, you know, and half the time, if not most of the time, they really don't know what they're prescribing because, you know, they go online and they look at something on the computer, just like you're looking at a computer, what's coming up next. And they say, okay, you have this symptom, and that symptom. I'm going to give you this. And try it for 2 weeks, and if it don't work, come back and talk to me.
Avi Israel is our guest, and in the next segment, we're going to talk about Save the Michaels of the World Incorporated, obviously formed in honor and in memory of his son, Michael, who took his own life in 2011 because he was addicted. We'll be back and talk about how you can help, either maybe with a contribution or a volunteer or just information. Avi Israel is next after this. Remarkable man, Avi Israel, who lost his son way, way too early at the age of 20 from opioid addiction, took his own life in June of 2011. I want to ask you one question before we talk about Save the Michaels, because I'm going to ask all three of my guests the same question today. Mayor de Blasio in New York City is proposing a place where addicts, it's not an exactly tracking story to what you told us, but where addicts could go and get a safe injection, mainly heroin, that there would be medical personnel there. And I have no history with drugs. It's hard for me to say, but that does not sound like a great idea to me. Give me your thoughts if you don't mind.
So I think that's part, to me, that looks to me, as my personal opinion, is yes, we need a safe injection site. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We have people who are dying from overdose today by themselves in dark corners and with no chance of getting help many times. An addict does not change his way that quickly. Okay? It's not like going to a hospital. It's not like heart attack where you get immediate attention.
Get treated right away, sure.
You get turned away from treatment so many times. So what if I kept you alive the same way I would keep you alive as diabetic, and I'm a diabetic also, by getting pills or medication or whatever it is, until something comes along that you find that it works for you? And that's the idea behind safe injection site. Along the lines of doing that, it should be intensive counseling in that whatever you want to call it, a clinic.
Right.
It should be access to medication to get you off the heroin or whatever the drug you're using. It should be access to treatment if you need inpatient treatment. So just when you just say safe injection site or whatever it is, people get the wrong idea, just like you got the idea that, oh, we're going to let addict go in there and shoot and, you know, all going to sing kumbaya.
So you're saying it'll get you to the next point, and by the next point, there might be something that will
And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to get you to the next step. So where there's treatment, there's medication, there's something else, and that's what we're not doing right now. We're letting people with addiction die and by themselves in dark corner, and we don't give a damn about what's happening to them.
Now, Save the Michaels of the World Incorporated. You decided to do something where most people would try and get away from the thoughts and the process there to try and heal somewhat. You're getting in there trying to do something. If you would like to participate with Save the Michaels, the number is 716-984-8375. Ari, what happens when people call that number?
So here's what happens when you call Save the Michaels. We don't want to know about your insurance. We don't care about, you know, anything else. What we want to know is, are you ready to go to treatment? Are you ready to change your lifestyle? So in 99% of the time, you will go into treatment within 24 hours, which is, this is something that's not accessible to only 1 out of 10 people in New York State. What we do is we cut the red tape. Bureaucracy in this country gets in the way of people getting good health care. We all know that.
Sure.
So when you call Save the Michaels, we find out if you're ready to go. We make phone calls to treatment facilities around the state. We find a bed for you. We transport you
Wow.
into treatment. we hook you up with a peer advocate while you're in treatment. We also educate your family, which is one of the things that we don't do. What's one of the something that I didn't get as a parent is education about addiction. When Michael suffered from Crohn's, Julie and I knew everything there was to know about Crohn's. We changed our lifestyle. We changed our food. We changed everything to fit Michael to make sure that we all ate right. You have to do the same thing with addiction. Families sometimes have to change their lifestyles. Families have to get educated on what to expect.
So not only are you helping the person who is addicted, but you're helping the caregivers, so you put the whole team on a better footing.
Everybody needs to know addiction affects the family as a whole. It affects the parents. It affects the wife. It affects the husband. It affects siblings. We all need to get educated. And then we all need to get reacquainted with the person who is addicted, who got the treatment.
So if you would like to participate, 716-984-8375 is the number for Save the Michaels of the World. I assume it's the same number if you'd like to volunteer?
Absolutely. We have six people who are employed by us right now. We're going to go up to 10. We have somewhere around 30 volunteers who help families. And we're helping. Last week we put somewhere around 68 people into treatment.
Wow, that's great.
That is something that you're not going to see. And we don't get paid for this.
It's a labor
Nobody
of love.
Pay. It's something that we do. We rely on public funding to do this. And everybody that helps out at Save the Michaels has been affected and wants to give back to the community.
Well, I think you're a remarkable man. I wish Michael were here for a lot of reasons, but especially see what kind of a father he had. I'm sure he knew it, but this would reinforce it. Ave Israel, you're a great guy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Except for the fact you told me you used to listen to me when I was a child. But I'll forgive you for that.
I still listen to you.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with the district attorney. Why is Tony running out of the room? The district, there's no warrants or anything for you, I don't think. We'll be back with more. Meanwhile, our cash code word is TENT, T-E-N-T. And just send that to 72881 and you might win $1,000 cash.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.